Welcome to PvP, Pitch Versus Pitch, the show where three guys who have never made a game before pitch video game concepts on inconceivable topics and decide who gets a green light and who gets a hard red. So I'm Chris, producer at large here at Watch Mojo. I'm joined by Dan,
the guy from Mojo Plays.
That's right. And we're joined by Max Lett. He is a writer, gamer, graphic designer. Welcome, Max.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Here's how this works. The three of us pitch video game ideas on some predetermined topics. We debate their merits and decide amongst ourselves who gets a green and who gets a hard red light. And Max, I understand you prepared some concept art for your pitches.
Yeah, I got a bunch of images. I got like 30 images worth of concept art, so
that
ready
is,
to go. If you guys don't green light this, I'm out.
That's a lot more work than Dan and I have ever put into any of these. So you've already won.
I didn't want to say it.
So quick note, you can listen to this on podcast audio. Maybe you're watching on Mojo Plays on YouTube. That's great. We'll do our best to describe the images, all 30 of them if you're listening on audio. So look, on the agenda today, we've got 1980s bad guys. We've got the British royal family. And we've got quick pitches on summer festivals, whatever that means to us. But first, I want to know what we're playing this week. Dan, what are you playing?
I've been playing a lot of PUBG. I'm not very original with my video game content these days. A buddy of mine just got a new PC, so he's learning the infinite frustration that is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Nice.
He's kind of a grumpy, complainy guy, so mixing him with a perpetually broken game has been about as predictably frustrating as we thought it would be.
Well, did you try him on Fortnite instead?
No.
Works a little better.
No, he's like a really cool, you know what? I can't even knock him for this. Me and my buddies are just playing PUBG. We haven't gotten into the Fortnite thing yet.
Okay. Yep. I'm more interested in Fortnite. I haven't played PUBG at all. I played a bit of Fortnite. And it feels like there's a whole other level of strategy with building, makes it a little more arcadey.
Well,
I find that interesting.
It's definitely a different game. They're not carbon copies, but what I really have been having a lot of fun with in PUBG is the vehicles. Often we pick up every vehicle we can, so about midway through the match, we're like four guys ripping around in dune buggies and motorbikes and stuff. That's a lot of fun. We made a little blockade on the bridge last night. It was sweet. It was fun.
That sounds like fun. Max, what are you playing?
Well, I tried PUBG for a while, and then I got my ass handed to me, so I went back to one-person gaming. I've been on my Switch, been playing Street Fighter 2, Ultimate Street Fighter 2. That's going to be reflected a lot in my pitch, because that's all I've been doing.
Don't give it away.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good game. I mean, it was a pretty good game for the Switch. They have a first-person mode, which I think it's called Way of the Hado.
That just seems like
first-person Street Fighter.
Right? It seems like sacrilege.
No, it's amazing. Once you get past all the jankiness and the fact that it doesn't work at all, it's a really good game.
Yeah, it got kind of reviews.
Yeah, well, the fighting itself is cool. Like, it's fun to pick up a Street Fighter and just, you know, one versus one. But first person mode does not work.
Chris, what are you playing?
What am I playing? God, not much. I haven't played much. I've been working a lot, but I'm still on Sea of Thieves. Nice. I'm still on that. I'm still enjoying it. I'm hearing so many reviews being like, few hours in, and that's you get it. That's all. And I think I'll probably, you know, sail down that path also. But for now, I'm still in.
You hear the first pirate legend was crowned, eh? And it's already a little bit controversial.
I don't know that story.
Yeah, well, basically, it's not a huge controversy or anything like that. But basically, he's a streamer, and he got his fans to help him farm. So he didn't really accrue all that wealth by himself. It was his network of fans. But in his defense, a legendary pirate wouldn't do all the dirty work himself, right?
Sure.
Like, you know, he's dug up enough chests in his day, he can get some other people to do it. So whether or not that makes him like a legitimate legend, or did he buy his way into legendary status? I don't know, but
the debate wages on. Wages on?
Rages on.
The debate rages on.
Indeed.
There we go.
Okay.
So here we go, into the pitches. For each of these pitches, please go to watchmojo.com/suggest or find the link in the comments in the description below and find the PvP episode page that you can vote on which pitch you think should get the green light, which should get the red light. We'll start keeping score of those at some point. And you can also tell us which topics you think we should pitch on next. So here's the order, Dan, then me, and then Max. Dan, what do you got?
So we're doing 80s villains, right?
80s villains.
80s villains. Okay. You guys remember Dungeon Keeper? You ever played Dungeon Keeper?
Yeah.
I haven't played it, but I remember it.
Okay. Well, Dungeon Keeper was a game. It was a strategy game where you played a dungeon keeper, an evil overlord, and you had to excavate parts of your dungeon while preparing for an inevitable attack from the heroes. So basically, it takes the game Diablo and flips it around. So you're not the hero trying to wade through the dungeon. You're the actual dungeon keeper trying to prevent the hero from wading through your dungeon. So my game is essentially that, but it's called Evil Megacorp.
Mm.
And you're essentially the guy from RoboCop and or Total Recall.
Nice.
And you have to prevent the muscular hero from wading through the ranks of your evil corporation and getting to you and ending the game. So you have to construct different rooms that provide you with different resources and henchmen to fight this potential muscular hero. So you got possible things like Cocaine Factory, obviously your evil boardroom, strip club, because everyone knows an 80s action movie has to stop by one strip club at least once in order to be a proper 80s action. Actually, you know what? That kind of strays into cop drama. But anyway, but strip club, I think, is definitely one compartment that you need there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's it, man.
I like that.
Yeah.
So what are, like, because I know Dungeon Keeper, it was Dungeon Keeper.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I want to say Dungeon Master, but that's D&D. Nope. Dungeon Keeper, I know that game pretty well. I played the hell out of it, and Dungeon Keeper 2. There was a Dungeon Keeper 2, right?
I'm just like, beware, the Lord of the Land approaches.
Yes. Such a good game. And the resources there was like gold, and you were leveling up your monsters. What are the resources and like comparable level ups in Evil Megacorp?
Interesting. I think definitely cocaine, because there always has to be piles of cocaine pretty much everywhere. That could be the primary resource.
Okay.
But I think human misery,
general,
like just you're just, you know, you could be breaking down, instead of chipping through walls, you could be breaking down tenements in order, or public housing in order to just make room for your, you know.
Okay, so it's not like a single structure that you're working within, it's more like
could
a terrain,
a, could
city.
Could be a district or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's an, or maybe it was an egalitarian co-op office building that you're slowly annexing. Actually, I like that. I'm writing that one down.
Yeah, that's good. Maybe the view, instead of being like the overhead
isometric
view, maybe it's more like the ant farm, like the base
right.
in XCOM or Sim Tower. That was an old game that could be a.
That's the one that they always snuck into computer class because it was educational.
That's right.
Right.
That's I can cool. see that. Yeah, I mean, in Dungeon Keeper, your monsters were fueled by chickens, and so you had to have a hatchery. Maybe that's what the cocaine
think little piles of cocaine. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And like instead of monsters, it's like henchmen.
Yeah, exactly. And you can have different kind of henchmen, like horribly racialized, extremely offensive henchmen from like you know just like South America.
Yeah.
You know, just like completely.
You have like the guerrilla warriors from South America.
Exactly.
You have
like the guys that are
martial
getting
martial arts people from who are Asian. Like all these 80s stereotypes.
Exactly. Like the guys that get mowed down at the end of Commando, or at the very beginning of another of Predator or something like that. You know, it's just miscellaneous.
That's right, like easily killed commandos, basically.
A lot of those, but I think like, you know, you could have special ones like, let's say, women who are good at martial arts. That's another trope I think that's pretty good, the ones that are just cartwheel in and out of every room, essentially.
Yeah, or maybe, you know, there are like the nameless commandos, but then you have like Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah,
and,
or
like,
that guy,
build
that
up
guy
your,
in Commando
your,
that had the chain link.
Oh yeah, like sweater vest,
chain link,
but a chain
wife beater.
Yeah,
giant knife and stuff.
Or the Gary Busey from Lethal Weapon there with the blonde hair.
Yeah, Gary Busey.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite impressions that I never get to do. I generally have to explain to people who Gary Busey is before I can do the impression, and by then I've lost them.
So then, when the onslaught happens, is it John McClane and the diehard or the Lethal Weapon guys?
I think
you
work your way through it. So like you start with your Mel Gibsons. Early stage Mel Gibson's, work your way up to like Rambo 1 Rambo, then moving into like Rambo 2. Like obviously we end with Schwarzenegger because let's be real.
He's the ultimate.
Yeah, but maybe like some B-grade Stallone movies, some Kurt Russells. So each level I think you would have to confront a different hero.
I could see this. I could see this working. I could see this being, I could see this being another like mobile boondoggle like the Dungeon Keeper Mobile infamously was.
Right.
What platform do you see this on?
I see it as kind of like an indie darling that can live everywhere. So not a lot of hardware limitations here. So like I'm definitely going that indie route where you want it on everything with a screen. But so that includes mobile, the Switch, but also PC, indie market on, like I'm an evil corporation, right? I gotta,
of course.
You gotta spread.
Put it everywhere.
Exactly.
Nice. Can you have like a first person mode?
I go meta with my marketing strategy. Mm. Pardon?
Can you have a first person mode that doesn't really work?
Yes, absolutely. A janky first person mode, let's do that. I think that was in Dungeon Keeper.
You
too?
Could possess your monsters
and
then fight as them briefly. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so you need a janky first-person mode, and then you're greenlighting.
That's what I need for every game.
You know what? I have no problem with that being the core gameplay. Okay. The rest,
I'm in.
The rest is the management mode.
Sign me up.
All right. Yeah, I'm in too. Especially since you can extra monetize this by.
Yeah.
You know, you can add more heroes.
Yeah, you could just be like the Kurt Russell pack. You know, like.
Exactly.
The Weyland-Yutani pack, where it's just like, you know, there's like experimental aliens in this one side.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right, greenlit. There it is. Well done, Dan.
Nice.
This pump.
So one pack that you might want to put in there is the Princess Bride villains.
Oh. You know, right. And a hero. So Christopher Guest, six-fingered man.
Yeah, Wallace Shawn and
giant rats.
Giant rats. So that's actually who I'm focusing on in my pitch. Well, first of all, I thought of doing like a dating simulator with like all the douchebag villains from 80s teen movies and high school movies, where you'd play as like a mute protagonist with low self-esteem, and it's like those like fan-made indie dating simulators.
Right, like that Wario one we did.
Oh my God, that's so good. Was it Lukagen that did a playthrough of that, I think?
I think so.
It's wonderful. If you haven't seen that, check it out. A Mario and Wario, I think it's just Wario, isn't it?
It's
Wario,
just Wario
dating sim. Anyway, but I steered in a different direction. So I want to focus on a trio of great bad guys, the ones from Princess Bride, Inigo Montoya, Vizzini, and Fezzik. And I want them to have a game that's like the Lost Vikings. Remember that game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Lost Vikings is like, it's a platform puzzler about these three Vikings that are like teleported through time and space, and each level is like ancient Egypt or caveman times or a spaceship. But in this, I see it as a platform puzzler with, you know, Vizzini, Fezzik, and Inigo Montoya, where each stage is a different 80s movie, right? And the goal is to...
Wait, was Vizzini the inconceivable guy?
Inconceivable! Yes, that's right.
Okay.
So each stage is a different 80s movie.
Can it be any 80s movie? Like John Hughes movies, where they just show up and kill everyone? Okay.
Yeah,
show up
they'll
and
be,
like,
they'll be included.
Break John Cusack's boombox.
Oh. Yeah, I mean,
she's trying to sleep. You don't know she has problems with her dad. This is creepy stalking.
So like, I haven't worked this out as far as I'd like. You know, I see this as like a puzzler. You know, you got to move through the levels and like you have to smash the boombox, but it can't just be brute force. Like, where's the challenge?
Okay, so here's the thing. For those of you who don't know, Lost Vikings, one of the central things was that like each one of your three characters could only do one specific thing. Your like shield guy could only block or hold the shield up as a platform. Your jumping guy, the only thing he can do is jump and run. And then there was a guy who can attack, and he has a bow and a sword. So I see Fezzik as the blocker. Mm-hmm. Inigo Montoya as our sword fighter, but what's Vizzini gonna do aside from say a pretty iconic catchphrase again and again?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a really good question, and it might be a big hole because he's not fast. You know, he's tricky. So I think that like I think that there's gonna be places where you have to interact with stuff.
Okay.
And I think that you need him for that. Like bringing Inigo or Fezzik to the boombox so that they can like mess with the wiring and zap John Cusack when he holds it up in the rain. That's not gonna work.
I think it was dawn. I don't think it was the raining actually, but I think,
yeah.
What?
I think it was dawn. He showed up at dawn. It wasn't raining.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's out in the rain in High Fidelity. I'm a John Cusack scholar. It's what I did my minor in.
Maybe he could wire the radio to explode when he turns it on.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So there's wiring that has to happen there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's other scenarios we could think of too, like in Back to the Future. I mean, Back to the Future, there's so much that could go wrong.
Maybe they stole the car from Back to the Future, and that's how they're getting through time.
Oh, that's not
bad. That's great. That's great.
That's pretty good. But, okay, just one thing. So are they confronting different villains, or...
I think they're actually on the side of the villains.
Okay, so they're... Oh, so we're talking first 15 minutes of Princess Bride when they are the villains.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Fair.
That's true. They kind of switch.
They switch immediately.
Yeah. I guess I don't remember the plot. Well, Vizzini doesn't. He meets his death as a villain.
Yes.
Yeah. But don't two of them become good guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
So maybe they can find redemption along the way after killing a bunch of 80s people.
Yeah, they find redemption.
Okay.
Maybe the last level is them busting into Fred Savage's room.
I like that.
Wait, what's the name of the grandpa from that?
It was that
Columbo.
Famous actor.
That's his name.
Yeah,
it's his name is Columbo.
Yeah.
Peter Falk.
Peter. No, he goes by Columbo.
You're
fucking awesome.
So there it is. What do you think? I admit that it needs a bit of work, but what do you guys think?
Yeah, Chris, I'm willing to schedule another meeting with our board members to talk about this, but as of now, you know, halfway through your pitch, you mentioned that like this wasn't a well-formulated, like you haven't really thought this out. So I do think there's something here, and we will follow up on a call. But you know, we'll call you. Don't call us.
I agree with this guy. I just don't know where the game's going and exactly what the mechanics of it are. I like that you can do. Wait, can you do first person in it?
Yeah, but it's really janky.
Okay, great. Green light.
Oh man,
absolutely.
You are that one guy.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's the worst response of all. It's not red light or green light. It's,
Maybe. But
we'll let you know.
I will say that you get major points for bringing up Lost Vikings, because I felt like I was the only kid who ever played that.
Me too!
Fun fact, do you know who made that game?
Blizzard.
Blizzard Entertainment.
Yes.
Of World Domination fame.
And I think that they brought them back into Heroes of the Storm recently.
I think they're in Heroes of the Storm and in StarCraft II, in between missions when you can go to the bar in Wings of Liberty. There's an arcade game called Lost Viking, because one of the Terran units is like a Viking ship. So you can play a little bullet hell shooter, I think it is. But it's a nice little Easter egg. Anyway, we're off topic here. Cool.
Anyway, I think that the property has legs, and people would like to see that tied in with other nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me for a moment.
All right.
Clear in the throat.
All right, so there we go. I think that's a red light on that one. Max, what do you got?
Okay, well, we've been talking a lot about 80s bad guys, and what's more popular than ever nowadays, it's 80s nostalgia. You got your Ready Player One just came out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it yet. I want it. You got your Stranger Things, which I haven't seen yet, but I want it. And then you got that Cobra Kai series that's coming out on YouTube. So like the Karate Kid continuation. I find that cool.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know about
that. Yeah, they're rebooting.
I mean, I have no interest, but.
They got all the actors, except for Pat Morita, who died. But anyway, so.
Wax off.
That's what they said at his funeral. So what I'm saying is that video game industry should start capitalizing on that. And we should start getting 80s nostalgia into video games, but also make it an 80s nostalgia video game, a la Street Fighter. So I'm talking about what I like to call 80s bad guy beatdown. Now, it's a Street Fighter. Well, here's the logo. And if you want your own logo like this, you can go to photofunia.com and just generate one, because they have an 80s logo maker.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't put any work in the logo.
Nice.
Because I spent my whole time doing all the concept art. So this is going to, here we have, let's see, is the computer, okay.
Racing through.
Yeah, so this is the character select we got going here. So you want all your bad guys from 80s movies as playable combatants in a two-player video game, a la Street Fighter.
Holy crap, this is awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
So you get, right now I put my favorite bad guys, but you can add so much more with that sweet, sweet DLC.
Oh my God.
Yes.
You got Zool.
You got here. I'll go through them right now.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
So first up, you got, Johnny Lawrence from The Karate Kid.
Right.
Now he's part of the evil Cobra Kai. He wants revenge, and all he's out to do is beat people up and get glory.
Right.
I feel like you captured a certain teenage awkwardness in his face, which is a really nice nuance.
Thank you. He's angry, but not sure if he's angry. Mm. You know, acting angry in a way.
He's angry, but he's not really angry at the people he's fighting. It's more like, Dad didn't take me to my karate lessons.
That's
like,
right.
That sort of thing.
Yeah, his parents did something wrong. And then every character can have like a special move. So let's say you have like a Street Fighter gauge where you can build it up and get a special move. Well, all these characters do that too. So Johnny Lawrence would be sending a whole crew of karate kids dressed as skeletons out to fight, you know, your bad guy or your enemy. Next we got Biff Tannen from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. So he'd be like a straight up brawler. For this game, I'm thinking him and Johnny Lawrence are like the Ken and Ryu, you know?
Like
best pals. Just two rad dudes out to beat people up. I don't know what his special attack would be, but we could come up with that as a team if you want.
Maybe he like hits people with a giant tree. He's like, make like a tree. Yes.
It's a good one. I like that.
And get out of here.
Yeah.
Make like a tree and get out of here. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I was thinking also you can get like alternate costumes and he has that future self, or his grandson, I think.
Hey, save it for the DLC, but you're on the right track here.
But yeah, maybe you can get him to come out with a baseball bat and beat people up. Mm-hmm. Next up, we got, coming soon, Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. So he's just a boxer, kind of like Balrog from Street Fighter.
Right.
He's just going to beat you up. His special move is murder in the ring.
Right,
because that's kind of what he does.
If he dies, he dies.
Exactly, exactly. Next is Chong Li from Bloodsport. His specialty is Kung Fu. His special move is also murder in the ring, because he does that too. Next up.
His weakness?
His weakness.
The balls?
Yeah, the balls.
The balls, that's right. Or he throws sand in your face too.
Yeah.
Next up we got Gozer.
Sorry. this one I'm pretty impressed by.
Oh.
I'm actually impressed all around. If you leak this on the internet, people will believe that this is coming.
Well, oh God, you're right.
Maybe we could get a greenlit together here.
Who's Gozer? I'm unfamiliar.
She is the bad guy from Ghostbusters. So at the very end, on the rooftop.
Are you a god?
Right. Yeah,
and then he says, not yes, right? You say yes if someone asks you if you're a god. Anyway, so her special move is that she's a god. And she would be kind of like the Shao Kahn, I guess, of the game from Mortal Kombat.
Kind of a caster.
Yeah.
Glass cannon kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All overpowered. Next up, we got Hans Gruber from Die Hard. Oh. Now, sometimes you just need a stuffy British guy pretending to be German.
Mm.
His fighting style is fisticuffs. You know, he just punches you. His special move is he shoots you in the face at the end. if he can do that. Next up, don't skip. There we go. David from The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
These are all so good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I worked really hard on this because I had nothing to do this Easter. Jeez. So this is what I went for. David from Lost Boys, he's a vampire. So his special move is, you know, biting your neck, maybe tearing your head off. He does that in a movie. Go watch it.
I feel like he's got to be like a fast, agile
sort
of guy.
Like drift from like one side of the screen to the next. And like,
yeah, like somewhere between Vega and Chun-Li.
Oh, yeah.
Can he have alternate Kiefer Sutherland roles as his?
That'd be awesome.
It's just like a Jack Bauer costume or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's DLC. Add that to DLC.
All right, there we go.
Yep.
Next up, we got the Kurgan from Highlander.
Ooh.
Yeah, the only reason he made it to this list.
Featuring Nick Staples.
Nick Staples, and he's got a little chainmail patch over his heart, which I noticed in the movie. It doesn't make any sense. Why would he do that?
He should be protecting his frickin' neck.
Which he's on display right now. Go for the neck. Anyway, his superpower is, or his special attack would be, I mean, he's immortal, so I don't know, something cool, I guess.
More fun trivia, this actor went on to voice Mr. Krabs.
Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob SquarePants.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown, love that guy.
Also was in, while we're doing trivia.
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers, but I was going to say Pet Sematary 2, which was really good because this guy was in it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of those that guy actors.
Yeah, definitely. He's got the face for it. Next up, David Lo Pan from Big Trouble in Little China.
Awesome.
So he's also sort of like a Shang Tsung type, where he uses magic, fights you off like that.
I mean, I think that's like, if viewers are confused, I'm actually looking at a monitor here. I think he is essentially the inspiration for Shao Kahn. So that would be really closing the loop if you were to make him, if you were to style him after that.
Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah. You can have the same fighting style.
Does he move kind of slow?
I guess he would. I mean, he's relying a lot on magic, and he's a very old man throughout the entire movie, to the point where he gets hit by a truck without moving, so I think he's pretty slow. But yeah, he can blast you with magic and stuff.
Awesome.
And then when he dies, he'll explode.
Cool.
Next up, we got Sark from Tron. So, I mean, he's got a special disc that he uses. He throws it at you, he rezzes you.
For immediate deresolution.
Exactly.
which is a word.
It's real. Deres. And his alternate costume can be just that stuffy British guy that's in the movie. I forget his name. He's got a name.
What if like in the fighting game when he uses the disc, the person that gets hit by it goes from being 16-bit to 8-bit, like a bit pixelated, and it makes them move a bit slow.
That'd be cool.
That's interesting. A little debuff.
And every time he gets hit, maybe he can be more pixelized until derezzed.
Oh yeah, that cool. Could be.
Awesome. I like that. I don't know if we have a next up. Oh, we do. Priscilla Stratton from Blade Runner. Now, I tried to add as many females on this list as I could, but the 80s were all about bad guys, not bad women. Guys. And if there were bad women, they were either androids or gods like Gozer. Mm. So I added her to the list instead of Roy Batty, which I think is fine. She uses acrobatics. She flips around, kind of like
Chun-Li.
Your Chun-Li, yeah, pretty much. I don't know what her alternate costume would be. I mean, we could give her one, but...
She's the girl from Splash, right?
Yeah, Daryl Hannah.
Daryl Hannah as...
Kill Bill?
L. Driver, is that her name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill Bill?
Okay, so next up, if I'm not mistaken, stage select. So now we can have this stage select thing where we choose the stages from each separate movie.
Max, you're making us look bad, dude.
I'm trying to get greenlit here. You gotta give me your money.
Nakatomi Plaza rooftop.
That's where they would fight. So you could fight up there. Next up, we got the Shandor building rooftop from Ghostbusters.
Right.
What do we got? Silver Cup Studios from Highlander. Another rooftop.
I'm seeing a theme.
Oh yeah, definitely a lot of rooftops. Another rooftop in Blade Runner. So the final scene.
2019 Los Angeles.
There you go.
They only got 1 year to get up to code.
Oh yeah, flying cars. It's about goddamn time. The Soviet boxing ring from Rocky IV. Next, you have the All Valley Karate Championship from Karate Kid.
Of course.
A lot of arena combat in this arena combat.
Yeah. Next up is the Kumite Arena from Bloodsport. There's a lot of arenas here. That was the 80s. Martial arts, robots, I don't know, immortal guys.
Yeah.
The Tron Battlefield, which would be cool.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Nice.
Lopan's Lair. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I think that's it. Oh, the Hudson Bluffs Abandoned Hotel from Lost Boys.
But yeah.
That's a bit of a reference.
That's a nice one.
Okay, so you can put any character you want into these settings. So you can have this player versus player. Here we got Johnny versus Lopan in the Kumite area, which is, a dream of mine. I want to see that happen.
He's done a full fight screen mock-up here for those who can't see it. It's pretty nice.
Oh my God.
Here you got the ultimate gauge going across the bottom. So once you reach that, you get your special move.
Okay.
Let's see, let's put two others together. You got Biff Tannen versus Sark at the All Valley Karate Championship. Okay. So, it's a bit of a overpowered matchup there.
Oh, you have to put this on Reddit.
Oh, I think it's going to go up there eventually. There's not any copyright. I mean, these are images for movies in the background, so we'll see. Let's say David versus Priscilla on the Shandor building. I've always wanted to see that. Krogan versus Gozer in the Tron area.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think that's it. Yeah, there we go. Logo.
Man,
that's my game.
Very nice.
That's a hard green light.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's a green light. I'm trying to find fault with it. And
not gonna.
Not really.
How much you got on you? Give me your money. I'll make it happen.
Oh man.
I left my wallet in the car, but it's a symbolic green light.
Okay, great.
Here we go.
It is. I'm trying to think of some other villains that I'd like to.
That would be the DLC, so you could keep adding things.
I really want that guy with the chain link white beater. That
perfect.
Makes pretty awesome. That really awesome.
I'd put in
accent.
The Duke of New York from Escape from New York. Who else would I put? But I didn't have time to draw him, obviously.
You really dropped the ball on that one, Max.
Sorry, guys. If I had more Easter time.
All right, well done. I think that's a green light.
So solid.
That's getting the green light.
Thank you.
Quick reminder, go to watchmojo.com/suggest, find the link for PvP episode 4, and vote on which you think should get a green light. We'll be keeping score, etc. Also find the link to tell us what topics we should do, because we're running out of ideas ourselves. We could really use some audience input. Here we go. Next up is the royal family.
Oh, baby.
Dan, what do you got?
Okay, Queen Cognito. It is a stealth game where you're not infiltrating, you're exfiltrating Buckingham Palace and various other social events. As the queen, you have to sneak around and knock people out and steal their clothes in order to get out of Buckingham Palace so you can complete regular normal person activities like going to the movies or eating at McDonald's,
nice.
Etc. Some fun items that you could use. it was really hard for me to separate the Queen from Mary Poppins for some reason. Now, I don't know if this is culturally insensitive, but every time I thought of the cool things the Queen would use, I was like, okay, she could use her umbrella. No, wait, that's Mary Poppins, not the Queen. She does like hats. I think there could be a sweet mechanic where she has one of her big hats and she like disappears under it. Mm. But other items you could use were, if you get spotted, you have a few seconds to throw tea in the person's face and scald their eyes.
Because they always have tea on them.
Yeah, they're British.
Have you been to the UK? I mean, come on. and then another key mechanic would be your pet corgi that can distract guards by doing tricks, maul them if you want to go loud, or just fetch items from across the room.
Nice. You could throw them at the person too?
Like, you could throw the corgi?
Yeah. All right, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, throwing corgis, that's I should have led with that.
Yeah, obviously. In first person.
Janky first person.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that the Queen actually wants to do normal people stuff?
Have you not seen Aladdin? Those that live cloistered lives long for the reality of the outside world. And they're willing to do some pretty crazy things to get there.
Mm-hmm. But have you seen The Crown, is my counter.
I have not seen The Crown.
So, like, and we'll touch on this in my pitch, but, like, a big theme of The Crown is how...
They do not want to mix with the unwashed masses?
Yeah! Like, there's no desire to be one of them. Like, it's actually kind of their duty to remain above and separate... and that's how they see themselves. Like they're part of the mythos that the country is built on.
That's all the more reason why the Queen has to keep this so Queen Cognito, why she has to keep it so under wraps and go to such extreme measures. She sicks her prized corgis on people. Mm-hmm. These are not. It's not just like, oh, I guess I'll just pop out to the movies. She really has to keep this under wraps and be as incognito as possible. So I think that only bolsters the strength of my central argument here.
I think it fixes one half of it. It raises the stakes that she can't be found out.
Right.
I definitely agree.
Right.
But I'm talking about motivation. Like, what is her motivation here?
Well, she wants to get with the people and like really figure out what it's like to be a horrible underling at all times so that she can rule better, you know? So
I think it's more just like a desire to just let go of this like the pomp and circumstance and just like, you know, use a terrible public bathroom.
Yeah. Maybe she wants to watch Ready Player One with an audience of people just talking in the front row.
Oh my God, don't go on Cheapy Tuesday, Queen.
she doesn't know about that.
What is, so what's the end game? How do you win? What's the final stage?
Interesting. Now that is something I didn't quite think about. Mm. Maybe, I think the end game would be to sneak out of the royal wedding.
Oh, okay. The so next it's royal event wedding. Based.
Yes.
Ah.
And maybe okay. So let's close the loop here.
Yeah.
She's inspired to do this during the wedding to Kate
Upton.
Upton.
Okay.
Right.
Middleton.
Not Kate Upton.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Either way, he's still doing well. Kate Middleton, and then it. So she decides that she's going to start leading this double life, and then it ends at the final, at the next wedding, the wedding to Meghan Markle, which is yet to happen. But that's when she decides to have her own... That's the big thing that she wants to prepare to sneak away from, because she hates that.
She's had enough of her family marrying commoners. She wants out.
More, it's just like she hates... Like, those events are just a pain.
Okay.
But, like, there's a lot of security. There's people everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's a day-long affair. There's the announcer, like, what a wonderful day for the world. Like, you know, like, got to get away from all that.
So I think that's a good way to frame it. Like, those are good bookends.
Right.
And maybe the missions in between, some of those missions are, like, setting up her plan so that during the final wedding, when she escapes that one.
Right.
Everyone's looking at the wedding, so she can sneak out the back, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's when she makes her grand escape, and I just see the final cutscene of her, like, in a motorboat with, like the wind blowing through her hair.
And a very muscular young man at her side.
Yes.
Clearly enamored with her.
Yeah. I think that, you know, she can... it's a bit non-linear. Like, she can choose which mate she takes with her.
Absolutely.
You know, each one...
they have to not be white. Because it's much more fun that way. And it's almost more improper. I don't know. Because, you know, there was so much of a dust up with like Meghan Markle. People were like,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I just love, it's technically blasphemy to make fun of the royal family. So the more blasphemous I can get here, I think is more fun. The whole transgression.
Yes.
Transgression's a major meta and in canon theme, I think, around this game.
I think I've heard enough. Max, do you have any questions or do you want to?
I mean, you know what I'm going to ask you.
First person.
Primarily first person.
Okay.
Although
great.
It would, like Human Revolution or Mankind Divided, the Deus Ex games, like it's first person, but when you do a sweet takedown, it zooms out into third so you can see someone like really, you can see her really crunching people with Mary Poppins' umbrella.
Damn. With parasols.
Oh, you guys played Phantom Pain? You could like airlift people out by like hooking the umbrella around their necks and they'd be like, what's it? What? And it like lifts them up. You know?
All right, green light.
Oh man, I really like that. That image is making me laugh.
I would give a green light if I knew what the instigating incident was that made her completely change her mind from.
I mean, she's getting old. What is she like? In her 60s now? 50s?
60s?
Okay, no, but like.
You're
maybe
playing us.
She's
like 112.
Okay, well, there you go. Maybe she's got like
20 in World War II, 20 something.
That's pretty young. So by now she's like, what, 80, 90?
But look, 90, so sure. you're saying that just because she's old, now she wants to change things up?
No, the opposite. She's got dementia now, so she thinks she's someone else. So she's like trying to figure out how to get out of the palace. Maybe she doesn't even think she's queen.
I can make fun of the royal family, but I can't make fun of dementia. That's punching down.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying it's a good motivation. Well, not a motivation, but a reason for things to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't make fun of dementia, but maybe it's... Well, hey, it's your game. If that's not a direction you're going, that's not a direction you're going.
No, I think
I need something.
Maybe it's, okay, it's those big shots of the crowd, and she saw someone eating like a hot dog, and she was like, oh my God, I've never had that. And that person just gets to go home afterwards. I don't know. Come back to me. We'll have a second meeting here.
Well, if and when I get that answer, it'll be green light. Until then, it's a red.
Okay, that's fine. I'm willing to accept.
All right, well. You asked for a second meeting, so I'll wait till then.
Okay. I'll get that janky first-person mode up in the vertical slice so we can show you guys.
Awesome.
There's something I forgot to mention about my last pitch. I forgot to give you the title, and it's called The Inconceivablists.
That's an inside joke.
That's a bit of an inside joke because this, when we were developing this podcast, we originally called it The Inconceivablists. So
you want to bring that back.
It's gone full circle. There we go. I have a place to put that title now. That's all I wanted. Okay, this is my British royal family.
That's actually a good
pitch.
Use of that title.
Well, thank you. It's better than this show, I think. Also, that game would be better than this show. Pretty much anything would be. So this is called The Royal Invasion.
Did you just make that up?
The title?
Yeah.
I hesitated because I thought maybe if I give myself a split second, I'll think of something better.
Okay.
Didn't happen.
It's pretty
the
good.
The Royal Invasion. Well, thank you. So let me give you a bit of backstory. For as long as I can remember, I've had some variation of what I call the actor's nightmare, like regularly. In the nightmare, it's like opening night, and I don't know the lines at all. Sometimes it's like a dance number, or sometimes I know my part, but then I'm put into another part. It's a performance that I'm not ready for, right? That's the actor's nightmare. Now there's another actor who's about to step into a role that she may or may not be ready for, and that is Meghan Markle, who is marrying Prince Harry. Now, I don't know, well, you guys said you haven't seen The Crown, correct?
No.
So, but there's a lot of official protocol things that one needs to follow in the presence of a royal. Like when dignitaries come, they're briefed on like what to call them. Like it's your highness and not
your worship.
Yeah, not your worship. There's a really funny scene in the latest season of The Crown where JFK and Jackie O meet the queen and make a fool of themselves because I think he calls her Her Excellency.
How much is Netflix paying you, Chris?
You're bringing it up now? We do like a Netflix, like what to watch on Netflix this week every week and you're...
Good point.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an internet conspiracy theory, right? So, like, I'm barking up the wrong tree, evidently.
I think you're barking up the tree that you're sitting in.
Oh, are you guys paid by Netflix?
No, we're not. But like, we're not. We'd love to be paid by Netflix.
Netflix, send us money.
Pay
us. We will sell out so
fast.
So willingly. If someone would just please send us some money.
Drop of a dime. Okay.
We accept stickers, hats, any free things.
That's right. One of the Stranger Things kids can come hang out for a day and you'll own us for a year. Anyway.
Good deal.
So, official protocol, it's very important. And when you don't follow that, the British press notices. Like, I found more than one listicle online about, like, times where the royals didn't follow protocol. And people are writing about this and taking pictures. And the way they're not following protocol, like, Prince Harry takes a selfie with a woman in Estonia.
Are you not supposed to do that?
I guess not.
Oh, damn.
And other crazy things, like they got into the car before the Queen.
Oh no!
Crazy stuff like that. And so,
they have these rules for a reason. I mean, it separates them from us commoners, right?
Well, that's exactly it. And like, that's
Would
a major
you love to just break free of that.
It's a major theme of the
coming back to that picture.
No, stop trying to work that in. It's a major theme of the Crown is that there has to be this separation because it's a constitutional monarchy and like the whole country is built upon there being a royal there, like watching over them and making sure that everything's okay. It's like, it's fundamental to what Britain is as a people and as a democracy. Anyway, and so those are the stakes in this game. Like you could topple this whole country, descend it into civil war, open it up to attacks from foreign countries. The game is kind of like Your Name, which is an anime, meets the actor's nightmare. Okay? So here it is. You wake up one morning in the life of a woman who has recently married into the royal family. And like in Your Name, you've basically woken up in the body of someone else. Right, that's kind of the idea behind your name. These two people switch bodies and they can't figure out why or who they are. So,
spoilers.
You are made very aware that you have a ton of expectations on you and are given no instructions on how to fulfill them. Right?
But does that mean like Kate Middleton has woken up in some other kid's body?
Well, I don't know. We'll see how Act 3 of the game goes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy.
So,
wow. Act 3.
Yeah, the game is controlling. You control in the first person as you go through these official visits and life at the palace. You have a meter for unconventional, right? And you want to keep that meter as low as possible. Every time that you do something wrong, like you walk in the wrong place in a line, it goes up a little bit. You know, you choose to wear pumps instead of flats, it goes up a little bit. You know, you hug your child in public, up a little bit, stuff like that. If you pay really close attention, you can often avoid raising that meter and win by, say, picking up on social cues of others or inferring what color of dress you're supposed to wear to a certain event by seeing a portrait from that event the year before. But often you don't and you have to guess. So you can sometimes ask your lady in waiting, but you do that too often and people will think you're crazy and then the unconventional meter will just, you know,
fly
go bonkers. Exactly. So you go through that for a while, and just when you think you're getting the hang of being a princess, your husband is promoted to king. So
oh,
I guess
no.
Someone dies. And the stakes get higher, and you have to learn a new set of protocol. Because now you're the queen. You're not like some duchess or whatever. And sometimes it's a contradictory set of rules that you have to follow. There's things like boss fights, which are when you have an official visit with, you know, the leaders of a country with whom you're at the brink of war, you know, like a really tense situation. So,
like you got to meet with Donald Trump and then...
Exactly.
You got to fight him or you have to like...
Nope, no fighting.
Okay.
This isn't a fighting game. This is like the opposite. You know, you have to be very, do the right social things.
You have to not fight with Donald Trump.
Okay.
Yeah. And good luck.
Right.
Good luck there. So if you fail too often, then, you know, a variety of tragic cutscenes could detail your demise, right? Could be war, revolution, an honor killing, car crashes made to look like accidents.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
You know,
what
that sort of thing.
Yeah, what are you saying, man?
What aren't I saying? So remember I said, you know, you wake up one morning in the body of this person? Well, your character was a different person before, right? And there's a subplot, and this might be the end game. I'm not entirely sure yet, but I think it's the end game where you have to, the subplot is you have to navigate to discover the cause of this switch, right? You have to figure out, and you have to figure out if the real princess is in your old body or what, right? And then when you meet that princess in that body, maybe they do want the life of a commoner. I don't know.
Oh, interesting. Thank you for tying it back to my thematic elements. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I need your green light. So, anyway, there it is.
Huh. Pretty cool. So, the point of the game is to, like, not do these faux pas in public, maintain your royal identity, but then also to sort of get back into your body at the end of it?
Yes, I think that there's an overarching story of like what's happening in Britain,
okay.
You know? And it's mostly stuff that's totally out of your control, like politics are going bad, there's like drought and whatever, and you have like a very, very small part to play, but if you do it wrong, then you're gonna mess everything up. Yeah, scandal, okay. Etc. You're gonna collapse the monarchy.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so my big question is like, I don't want to say where's the fun, but it just seems like a lot of negative feedback loops and not a lot of positive ones. I can understand the idea like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, and you get like kind of like mm-hmm. bumpered in to making sure you do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But what are the positive feedback loops? What are the things you want to continue doing that the game encourages you to do?
That's a really great question. And I think I need to develop that more because right now it's set up.
Sound like a great anime, but it already is a great anime, minus the royal family.
So I set this up as an open world game that if you treat like an open world game, you lose.
It's just like you can go anywhere, but you actually can't go anywhere.
Like. That's a great question. I think, and the first answer that comes to mind is like, is when you do things right. You get some free time, and you get to do awesome stuff, like horseback riding over the moors in Scotland, you know?
Beautiful.
You get to spend a bit of time pursuing an interest like painting or archery. I don't know, stuff that royal people are fit to do.
Lots of like really fun stuff that you would do in a video game.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So maybe the protocol sections are actually just sort of like in between missions where you sort of set yourself up for the like the nice fun stuff that you mm-hmm. do, like sort of relaxing things in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. I'm warming up to this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it. I think in those relaxed parts, you get to be a princess. And I mean, who doesn't want to be a princess?
It's true. This is a point.
Castles and horses.
All the cupcakes you could eat.
That's right. All the bonbons you can stuff your mouth with.
But that's part of the game. You can't eat cupcakes, though, because that's like a faux pas.
Well, I mean, you have to watch your weight a little bit.
I guess so. Oh, man.
Although
is
not
tough.
Too much.
It's hard.
I don't think there's... Is there a lot of pressure? Yeah, there's probably pressure on princesses to look a
certain way. I think
there's
a ton of pressure.
Yeah. They're not overweight, exactly.
A bit of DLC before you toss your thing here.
DLC for the DLC. Let's have it.
Yep. These are like more like traditional expansions, right? This is not just like, you know, horse armor. Although there would definitely be horse armor because there's going to be a lot of horses in this game.
Okay, cool.
You can play as royalty of different cultures, right? So the Empress of Japan, for instance, has much different sets of protocol than, you know, the
King
British.
King of Thailand.
Exactly, than the King of Thailand. You can maybe even apply some fictional kingdoms to this also, right? So... I'm blanking on a fictional kingdom, but you can fill in the blank yourself.
The Beats. Candy Kingdom from Adventureland? I don't know. That might break with the art style that you guys are going for.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome, too. Candy Kingdom. But like, although there's like, not a lot of protocol there.
No. Or the protocol could be like, don't do any work.
That's right. You're not having enough fun.
Yeah.
I want to play that game.
And yes, there is a janky first-person mode in this.
I think Max is going to Zuckerberg you and just like take your idea and go.
Much. Already got the art going. So green light, because I heard there was a first person with janky controls.
I'm giving it the green light too because this is a meaningless thought experiment and there's no money involved.
What? Way to burst the illusion.
I'm so sorry. We need that fourth wall. It's low barrier. Right.
I took a lot of time on that one. But thanks for humoring me, guys.
We appreciate it.
A solid pitch. Mine's a real quick one because I didn't have time after the first pitch.
What's really amazed me, and can we show this to the camera actually? Max Please. Went through the trouble to make amazing art, but he decided to take his notes down by hand.
Oh, I gotta. You know, you gotta practice your handwriting or else it's illegible. I mean, at this point, I can't read it, but. Okay, so royal family. my idea is a God of War type game where it's like a first-person hack and slash.
Sweet.
You portray Prince Charles Philip Arthur George, his full name, better known to his friends as no nickname Charlie. He has been living in the shadows of greatness for his entire life, but now he wants to become king, okay? So what he has to do now is take on all the royal successors to the king or queenship, fight them to the death, and then finally become King of England. And he's going to be armed with his trusty broadsword, because that's what they do, I think, in England.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
They sword fight a lot?
It's true.
Yeah, he'll probably have a horse with armor, so I know I get your green light. He's going to be riding through the halls of Buckingham Palace, taking on all these different characters. Now, I don't know exactly who the royal family is, but I know there's Harry and William. Uh-huh. So he has to kill his two sons.
His sons?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It's
very
God of War type mythological,
kind of Shakespearean.
Yeah. So you got to put that in there. There's a Lady Louise Windsor. I don't know who that is, but her name came up when you searched royal family. Prince Edward, some guy. But they all have unique, awesome powers, and they look like grotesque monsters. So, you know, it's got that God of War feel to it.
Sweet. Okay, so one of my favorite parts about God of War, or one of the most notorious parts, I should say, is that you're often dismembering these figures from Greek mythology and using, like, either their body parts or the things you took off their dismembered parts as tools. Like you take Helios's head and you use it to see. I think you're also, you can stun people with what's her name's head?
Medusa.
Medusa's head, exactly. Would you be dismembering the other members of the royal family and or your successors, and what sort of powers would you be attaining from them?
All right, I'll answer both your questions. Number one, absolutely. You have to dismember these people because they might come back together. They're, you know, royal. Who knows what's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Got royal blood.
Royal blood. Well, I don't know what that means. Maybe it's like the thing where they just reassemble in different parts and stuff.
Like at the end of Blade.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And as to specific powers, those like an arm would have, I don't know. Maybe you could slap people with it. You could throw a head. I don't know. There's probably cool powers we could come up with.
I think the queen's arm could wave.
Ah, there you go. And then that destroys in kingdoms, you know, just doing that.
Yeah, or it stuns commoners.
There you go, yeah.
There you go.
With glamour.
Can we get Mary Poppins' umbrella in there?
Absolutely.
Because I feel like, you know, it's always a mishmash. Mm-hmm. The God of War games, they just take whatever they want, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to really line up, so.
No, you can put that in there.
Yeah, besides British royal family, I think you're dealing also with just British culture in general, right?
Right.
So Mary Poppins is fair game.
The snatcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
Probably drive that around.
Or maybe,
the Beatles.
Hear me out, there could be like a Kirby's power snatching thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how like tea is technically associated with the British, but it's an Indian invention.
Yep.
So it's just like you could use your colonizing powers to just be like, I've got your...
That's pretty cool.
That's right.
So like you suck in the queen and you have a nice hat and like...
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you appropriate whatever culture you suck in.
Mash the button to colonize.
All right, cool. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, this is starting to be like a really dynamic gameplay experience, lots of different powers that nickname Charlie has.
No nickname Charlie. That's his full name.
No nickname Chuck.
No nickname Chuck.
Gives no fucks Chuck. Sorry.
I just want to mention the final boss, obviously, is going to be the queen.
Right.
She's going to have her giant hellhounds, which are corgis, but it's going to be like God of War style, so they're going to be huge and breathing fire at you.
So cool.
Yeah. So I wish I'd made art for that.
I love the image of like Kratos like prying the mouth open of a giant corgi.
Yeah. Giant corgi. I like it. I think it'll sell like crazy in Britain and everywhere that is, that hates Britain. Mm-hmm. That'll sell well too. I think it'll be a total mess, a total conceptual boondoggle. It'll never get a sequel, but it'll sell really well on day one. I'm in. Green light.
All yeah, right, cool. I think the controversy that this game would cause would have a major Streisand effect and push people towards buying it for sure.
Well, that's what we want. We want to have a lot of controversy, so it's going to be like a No Man's Sky situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's going to come out completely unprepared. Mm-hmm. It won't be. It'll barely be playable. A lot like the first person in Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, then it'll people slowly start to enjoy it because they have to because they bought it because you can't return it.
So, sweet.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm sold. Can't return it.
Green light.
Can't return it.
Should have led with that.
Yeah.
What was the title again?
God of War with the Royal Family. I think we might have to change that. In the...
No. It's like it really. It's on point.
Okay. Yeah. God of War, the Royal Family. All right. Great. Lightning round.
What about Sod of War?
Sod.
I like that.
Okay. Lightning round. Real quick pitches on summer festivals. Dan, what do you got?
All right. Every time I've ever been to a summer music festival, I felt like I was literally in hell. So here, you are the hand of God. And your objective is to kill as many concert goers as possible using natural means alone. So sandstorms, heat waves, lightning bolts, poisoned water supply, etc. Yeah, you win if you kill your whole festival.
Green light.
Green light as a mobile game.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Yeah, man, music festivals are freaking awful. They're the worst.
okay, this is called Burning Man VR. Right, because Burning Man technically takes place in the summer. It's a summer festival. This game is accessible for 1 week only every year. Very limited engagement. It's a VR Burning Man experience with survival elements. You gotta like find water, etc. You get to experience everything that Burning Man has. You can make music and climb stuff and a bunch of mini games. You take drugs and have amazing psychedelic visuals. You can explore interesting NPC backstories, but it's only live for a week. Every year, and every year it's different and better than the last.
You could really enhance the experience by just throwing large quantities of sand at the people that were wearing.
That's true.
It's just like, just shove some sand into their nose.
That's right, and sunburn them.
Yeah, just all to heck.
That's awesome.
Yeah, green light.
When you said Burning Man VR, I thought like VR and then
you're just like on fire. Like it's like first person view of the end of The Wicker Man.
Exactly. I green light that and then your pitch. So.
Yeah. Nice. Excellent. If you don't know what Burning Man is, watch Top 5 Facts About Burning Man. Ooh. I made that like 3 years ago.
Oh, man.
It's a plug. Nice.
Max?
Well, on the subject of drugs and concerts, or actually summer festivals, in Montreal, we have something called a Picnic Electronique.
Mm. Right.
So it's like you go down to the island, and then you listen to a lot of electronic music, and you get real high.
Yeah, well, to convince yourself that the music is actually good.
Exactly. Yeah. You need, like, a certain amount of LSD before the music becomes good.
I think it's MDMA, but anyway, yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah. Any kind of drug you can get your hands on, you take it. But that's part of the game. So you get super, super high, and then you have to find your way back home from the island, and there's no bus service, no shuttle service. Uh-huh. And it's sort of like an open-world sandbox, and anything can happen, but you're, like, out of your mind on drugs. So you have to like fight off hobos and I don't know, fight off policemen. And
nice. There's raccoons on that island.
There's a lot of raccoons, skunks,
enormous,
wildcats.
Enormous koi fish.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can fight them off too because you get in their turf, they'll come at you.
That's right. Yeah. And there's a casino on that island also.
Oh, so you could go.
That
like
creates a pretty good, a visually impressive level, I think.
Yeah.
And this is like a mini game where you go gamble all your savings away while you're really high.
And I mean, speaking of hell, I think that like. That casinos are kind of like hell, so it could just be depicted as like a huge flaming, awful place.
Because you'll be seeing that anyway, because you're so high. All right.
Cool.
Red light, because I like electronic music.
What?
Oh.
I just don't like how you guys are dissing electronic music.
Ooh. All right, well.
That's a big genre to diss. So red light out of spite.
I think I said it was
green
good.
Light to counter spite.
Oh, okay, good.
There we go. I think that's just, that evens out to yellow though, so.
Okay, so maybe in a couple weeks, I'll ask again.
There it is. Those are our pitches. You've heard them. This is our fourth episode. We want to keep making many, many more. Please leave a comment wherever you're hearing or watching this. Tell us what you think. Leave a review. But do be kind. No, be honest. Leave a rating, etc. For each of these pitches, go to watchmojo.com/suggest or find the link in the description and find the PvP episode 4 page to vote on which you think is the strongest and why. You can watch this on YouTube, here on Google Plays, iTunes, or Stitcher, wherever you catch it, subscribe to Mojo Plays, wherever you're watching it, for more pitch versus pitch action. Thanks to Max. Thanks, Max. That was great art. And to Dan and Phoebe in the control room. Thanks a lot. Oh, and you know what? wherever you put that up, wherever you put this art up, whether it's on DeviantArt or Reddit or whatever, send us the link and we'll put that description, put that link in the description, etc. Good show, guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Brought to you by Netflix.